episode of Beauty of Birth podcast. Today on the podcast, I have Gloria, and she actually reached out to me. She's friends with one of my close friend's sisters in Washington State, and she reached out to me and said that she would like to be on the podcast. So it took us a while, but we finally did a podcast over Zoom, so I'm really excited about that. For updates in my life, I'm doing well. I'm 31 weeks pregnant now. It's going by fast, like really fast. I feel like each one gets faster, which makes sense because I feel like as life goes on, it just goes by faster. I am, feeling good. Getting tired again because I'm in my third trimester, so I have less energy again, which is annoying, but besides that, I'm just very hungry, and that's about it. I have been having, like, acid reflux more than in my other pregnancies, because I know I had it a little bit, but I didn't have it very much. I feel like I noticed it a little more, but it is, like, usually if I lie down right after I eat, which is when you get it, and otherwise I don't usually get it, so it's not that annoying. I don't have heartburn or anything like that. I don't have any burning sensation. I just have where it feels like stuff is kind of coming back up a little bit. Besides that, feeling really good. Very excited to have my baby girl. I cannot wait. So, yeah. Anyways, that's the little update. Excited for all the summer plans. I'm hoping to be doing another one over Zoom next week, and then posting that one next week if I can get it out fast. So, yeah, we've been pretty busy, so it's been harder to. I've just sometimes forgotten about editing these on time to submit them on Friday, so. Because I actually did this one a couple weeks ago, and I meant to post it last week. But, yes, I'm trying my best to get these out there. Anyway, I hope you enjoy Gloria's birth stories.
Hello, Gloria.
Hi.
So if you could start off by just saying a bit about you and your family and where you live.
Okay. I'm Gloria, and I'm married to Dave. And I actually grew up in Skagit County. I have 8 siblings, so I come from a pretty big family. And then my husband grew up in Linden, and we met through mutual friends. His high school friend married my high school friend, and that's how we ended up running into each other. So we've been married since 2015 and have 2 boys. Jake is 4 and Lucas is 2.
Nice. Do you guys have anything, like, any cool things you like to do for fun?
Camping. We just bought a travel trailer, so we're going to start doing that with his family more often.
Oh, that's cool. I love camping. It's great. What was your, like, how long after you were married did you decide to start trying, or did you decide, or did it just happen?
So we decided to stop preventing the December after we got married. So we got married in September 2015. And then that December, I'm like really allergic to a lot of things. So any of we don't use birth control, but any of the other methods, I was having a lot of allergic reactions to. So we decided to just kind of leave it be. And I tried to explain to my husband, because he was terrified of having a honeymoon baby. But by the time we had met, like I didn't hit my period until I was 18. And by the time we met, I was cycling maybe once a year or like longer periods of time. So,
oh, wow.
I think one time I went 2 years without it. So I kind of explained, like, it's not going to happen if you don't cycle. And so he was like, well, why don't we just stop trying everything since it's obviously causing you a lot of issues. And then if you get pregnant, you get pregnant. And if you don't, you don't. You know, we'll just kind of put it in God's hands. And then by March, we had talked to a couple friends of ours that had children through IVF and had some of the similar infertility issues that we were having. And one of our friends directed us to Dr. Snell in Bellingham. And she started out with just some like regular testing. I was having like a lot of pain in my ovaries. So if she, when you start it in the very beginning, she can code it under like a medical pain issue, and then the insurance company will pay for it. Once it merges into actual infertility, the insurance stops paying and it's all out of pocket.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So we started, let's say probably in March of 2016, a bunch of testing process to try and figure out like what was going on. He went and got tested just to make sure it wasn't on his end, and he's totally healthy. And then I want to say it was in July of that year of 2016 that we started Clomid, and that got, I was having regular cycles. We started at an extremely low dose, and then she would up it a little bit at a time to try and get my cycles to be where they're supposed to be at. And the shortest cycle they could get was 36 days. And they figured, since we're at 36 days, we're going to keep trying. Yeah. And so we kept doing that until it would have been March of 2018. I had went in for some other testing and had just taken that round of Clomid. And they called us and said that they found that I had cervical cancer. And they wanted us to stop everything trying to get pregnant because they needed to do a procedure. They caught us like super early on, so they were able to just surgically remove all the cancerous parts. So we stopped everything and I stopped tracking. And we only had, I think, one other ultrasound to do to kind of rule a couple things out and confirm if it was PCOS or what exactly was going on. And then we were going to do either IVF or adoption, but we had to stop everything once they found out I had cancer. And so they're like, well, don't get pregnant until at least 2 months after the procedure. And I had it, that procedure, I think it was like mid-March, I went in and had that done. And then in April, we went on vacation with my parents and my in-laws. We all went together. And I was like really car sick and having a lot of heartburn. But the problem with the Clomid is that it gives you all of the symptoms of when you're pregnant. So you have like the tenderness, you have the nausea, you have the being tired, you have the heartburn. And so I had all of that. And my mom was like, are you sure you're not pregnant? And I'm like, yeah, I am sure. We took that one round. It's been longer than a complete cycle, and I haven't taken more. So I can't be pregnant. Mm-hmm. And when we got home, I told my boss, like, I have the worst heartburn. Like, I think there's something wrong. And she's like, well, it could be something with your stomach since you've been throwing up for so many years trying to get pregnant, because the Clomid makes me really sick. She's like, or you could be pregnant. So I had to go grocery shopping and I picked up a test and went home and took it and then forgot about it. I left it on the counter. And when I came in, it was positive. So I was like, oh, maybe it was a false positive because it's been sitting too long. So then I took another one and it was also positive. So that's when we found out we were pregnant with Jake.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. So we never ended up completing all the testing with Jake. Since we ended up pregnant, we were just happy to be pregnant.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, at that point, it was a surprise because I had joked with my husband at one point. I'm like, well, if we get pregnant by Father's Day, I'll buy you a mug, because he broke his favorite coffee cup. And when he got home from work, I just went out onto the porch and was like, so I guess you're going to get that coffee cup for Father's Day. And it took him a minute to register what I was saying.
Aww.
So yeah, that started Jake's pregnancy.
How old were you
So,
and your husband when you got married?
I was 26 and he was almost 30.
Okay. And then how old were you when you got pregnant?
I was 29 because I had him just shy of my 30th birthday.
Okay.
So yeah, I think it took us about 3 years to get pregnant.
Okay. How was your pregnancy with him?
The first 6 weeks were good. Like we went in when you're on Clomid, the longer you're on, the possibility of doubles or triples goes up. So like I knew that it was a possibility, but I didn't realize like how much it was, because when I talked to the midwife, she told me, she's like, well, you've been on Clomid for this long, so you have about an 80% chance of having twins. So she's like, I want you to go to the pregnancy center and just get an ultrasound. I just need to see what I'm working with here. And I was like, okay. So we did that and he was healthy, one baby. My husband was very relieved. It was only one. And we did great. But then at around 6 weeks, I was at work and I started bleeding. It was kind of light, but enough that it was a little bit concerning because I've had multiple miscarriages in the past. And so I called the midwife and she's like, well, it kind of sounds like from your symptoms, you might be starting to have a miscarriage. So she's like, I want you to leave work right now and go to this pharmacy. And she got me a very strong dose to progesterone, which is taken vaginally. And she warned me, she was like, you know, you're going to take it the first day and you're probably going to feel a little bit bad, but by the second day, you're going to be really sick. And yeah, I woke up at like 2 o'clock in the morning and was throwing up and was super sick, but it stopped the bleeding and kept him viable. But any time that I stopped taking the progesterone, I would start bleeding again. So they had me on a pretty high dose of progesterone the entire pregnancy. So I was pretty sick most of the time. Like I threw up. I think I was probably had like a 2 hour window in the afternoon where I could eat and keep it down.
Oh man.
Yeah, it was a little rough.
Yeah, that was the whole time, the
Yeah, I
rest of
went.
your pregnancy.
Yeah, it faded a little bit in the second trimester. And then by the third trimester, it slammed back hardcore. Like I was on Zofran, and that made it so I could go to work and kind of manage. But it was pretty common for me to be in the bathroom at work throwing up.
Okay.
Which I had a very understanding boss. So.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
You said that you had multiple miscarriages. Had you had them before this point already, or was that later?
Yeah, I had them before Jake.
Okay. How many did you have? Like, were they early on ones?
Yeah, there were usually, I had one at 8 weeks, and the rest were. Like I'd find out I was pregnant, and then within 2 or 3 days, I would, lose the baby. So somewhere around like 2 to 3 weeks, that
Okay.
kind of right around that point. So yeah, I was kind of, we already kind of knew that there, I could possibly struggle to carry full term, but he was healthy the whole pregnancy. Like I was really sick, but he gained weight really well. I lost 30 pounds over the pregnancy.
Oh, wow.
And they told me that he was actually going to measure as a big baby, but he wasn't overly large, but he gained weight fine and he was healthy. His heartbeat was always really good. So that as long as he was fine, I could deal with everything else.
Yeah. Did you have anything else, any other symptoms or anything in your pregnancy?
Oh, just heartburn, horrible heartburn the whole time.
Oh
It didn't matter what I ate. I could drink water and have heart.
no. But other than that, all
Which
those
is kind of
symptoms.
funny because he's so spicy food. But
He loves spicy
yeah,
food.
other than that, the pregnancy was itself. He hates spicy food.
Oh, he did.
And when I was pregnant, I couldn't eat anything with even a little stuff. And so even now, he's like, that's spicy. I don't like that. That's spicy. I'm like, really not spicy, but okay. So then, do you want to talk about like my neighbor?
Oh, I was going to ask if you said you were saying you didn't have anything else, though, significant in your pregnancy.
No, not really. No,
Okay.
I was on blood pressure pills before so at somewhere just before my second trimester, I switched from a local midwife to Peace Health. So then I ended up rotating between, I think there's like six different doctors on call at the hospital. So I had to have a hospital birth because I was on blood pressure medication.
Okay. So how was your labor? When did that start? When was your due date?
Oh, I'm trying to remember. He was born January 8th, and his due date was, I think, the 12th. Because we went in, they wanted to induce me before 40 weeks because of the blood pressure medication. So we went in on a Monday night to get induced, and it actually went pretty smooth in the beginning. It was like 8 o'clock at night. They gave me the first dose of, I can't remember exactly how they what they what the medications are called to induce me. And then I woke up at about 2-ish in the morning with contractions strong enough that they kept me awake. And I was like, okay, something's happening. But then I wasn't really far enough that I felt like I should wake my husband up because he was sleeping with me at the hospital. And then around 4 o'clock, I woke him up and told him, I was like, okay, I think we're getting started here. And my friend Jennifer was going to come and kind of be like an extra support person for me because I have a lot of medical issues and allergic reactions to things. And I was worried if like something happened out of the norm that Dave would have to try and make decisions all by himself. So I kind of like pre-told her what my thoughts were and what I wanted so that he kind of had backup, and she's a nurse as well. So it made me feel a little more comfortable to have somebody there that had medical training and that Dave wouldn't have to try to make decisions by himself. So he called her, I think around 5, and she got there within a half hour or so. And I only remember when my water broke because it was shift change and they wrote 7 o'clock on the board. And right when they did that, my water, I had stood up on the side of the bed to try and like walk around and get, just to get more comfortable. It was just really uncomfortable at that point. And then my water just broke. And I was like, oh, I think my water broke. And the one nurse, she's like, oh no, you're gonna have the baby in a few hours and I'm getting off shift and I won't get to see a baby. And I was like, oh, that's okay. You know, I'm sure you'll find to be able to deliver another baby. And so when we were going through the process, they were like, you know, you're doing great. You're dilating really fast. You should be done in like 2 or 3 hours. So we kind of kept progressing and they're like, do you feel like you have to push? And I could feel kind of a pressure. And I was like, well, I feel a little bit of a pressure. I'm not sure if I need to push. And they're like, well, why don't you try? So I would try pushing and then nothing would progress. So they did an ultrasound. They found out he was sunny side up. So they're like, well, we can either give you an epidural and go in there and turn him around, or we can just keep progressing the way we are because you're doing really good and you can just deliver him the way that he is because he seems like he's doing okay. And I was really worried that I would be allergic to the epidural and have a reaction while he was inside me. So I was like, well, let's just keep going and try to push him the way out way we should. So I kept trying to push and he was not progressing down the birth canal and they couldn't figure out why. There was probably 4 or 5 times they had to go up inside and try to like figure out his positioning that way. And he wasn't, they said they thought that everything seemed fine, but they couldn't figure out why he wasn't progressing. So I tried pushing. It's really kind of vague, the timeline. Dave would be better at being able to tell you the times, but it was probably 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning until around 9 o'clock at night. Because they
Oh,
gave
man.
me, they said it at 9 o'clock, let's get you an epidural and try to get you to relax. Because I was exhausted at that point. I like was sitting on the side of the bed at one point. I just told Dave, like, I'm just tired. Like, I can't push anymore. I'm too tired. And so they tried to do the epidural and then I immediately started to fall asleep. Like I was exhausted. And then they came in shortly after that, and they're like, his heartbeat has dropped down dangerously low. We got to do an emergency C-section right now. So I immediately started crying because I thought, something was going to happen to him. And after we had wanted him for so long and prayed so hard. And the doctor felt horrible because she knew the C-section was like the least thing that I wanted. But she's like, I don't know what else to do. He's in distress. I don't know why he's not going down the birth canal. There's something going on that I can't see. So we got prepped for the C-section super fast. And it was really hard because at that point, like my body was going into muscle failure. So I was already having the shakes. But then the meds they give you for a C-section also give you the shakes. So I was shaking horribly on the table, and the meds kind of made me feel like I couldn't breathe, which apparently is very common. But I was panicking because I couldn't breathe. And the anesthesiologist was like, "You're fine, you're fine. He can see the vitals. Look at the vitals." And I was like, "I can see them, but I don't understand. I can't breathe." And so I started crying. I was like, "I want my husband, and I want him right now." So the anesthesiologist asked him, like, "Are you ready for dad to come?" And they said, "No, we need a few more minutes." He's like, "Well, you better hurry those minutes up because I'm going to go get him right now." Because I was just having a meltdown on the table. And at 9:22, he came. He was super healthy and crying and sounded wonderful. Was great. But yeah, they found out once they did the C-section that my hips just hadn't spread far enough. So he was over on the right side. So when I was pushing, he was trying to go down the birth canal, but his head was like going into my hip bone. And he'd get stuck right there. So he had a bunch of bruising all on the side of his face, and his head kind of had a funny indent on it where I kept pushing him into my bone instead of down the birth canal.
Oh my.
Yeah, it was a little crazy.
So were you pushing for all that time, like that whole time you said for all day?
Yeah, it was like they would have me push, and then we would take a break for like 15 minutes, and then we would push, and then we would take a break. Then we would flip around, try a different position. Like every position they could think of, I did like standing up. We were on my knees. I was at one point had me, I was holding on to Dave and just kind of like bearing down and pulling on him to try and like get as much strength to push down as far as I could by like standing. And because they were trying to get him to like move around and see why he wasn't progressing. And so they're like, "Well, I'll take a break and then we'll try a new position. And we'll take a break and try a new position." So it wasn't like constant pushing, but it was pretty consistent, like 15, 20 minutes at a time, we would try and then try something new.
Oh wow. So you were 10 centimeters, like you were ready to push though, like when they took
Yeah,
them out?
I was the full 10 centimeters. And I progressed super fast. Like when my water broke, I was at a 9, and I
Okay.
progressed to 10 like right after. They're like, "This is great. Like you're gonna have this baby soon. You're doing awesome." So I was like, in my mind, I was like, "This is almost over," because it hurts so bad that you're kind of getting to the point where you're like, "I just want this done." But I never hit like the crowning. I'd say that's like the worst part. I never got that because he never went down the birth canal.
I've never heard that before. It's crazy.
I hadn't either. I didn't even know that was a thing, that your hips wouldn't spread far enough.
What?
But yeah, when they did the C-section, I felt them like pull my bones apart. And she's like, "I guess you're just extremely narrow and his positioning wasn't great and it just didn't work out."
Man. How much did he weigh?
He was 8 pounds, 8 pounds even.
Okay. Did you know the gender before, or did you wait
Yeah. We
for him?
went in for the 20-week ultrasound and found out. I'm not very good at surprises. I like to plan. Yeah, and my husband, he was so nervous about being a dad for the first time that he's like, "I need to know the gender, because if it's a girl, I don't know what I'm gonna do." I'm like, "Well, the first year, boy or girl, they have the same needs."
Yeah, for
But he
sure.
grew up in a very small family. He only has an older sister and a younger brother. And so he's never really been around babies. So the idea of having a baby in the house was a little more intimidating for him than for me. Because I'm the second oldest of nine, so like we had babies in the house all the time.
Yeah. So what was the reason they needed to induce you because of the blood pressure meds you said?
Yeah, so the blood pressure medication, I guess, has the possibility of has something to do with like your fluid for the womb, and they I don't know, there was a whole list of like reasons they had to induce, because I asked them if I could wait till after 40 weeks because I wanted to go into labor naturally, and they said no, it's hospital protocol because there's these certain health conditions that can happen when you're on blood pressure medication. And it had something to do with like the water in the womb and something else. I can't remember. So we went in at 39 weeks. Looking
So,
back, I wish I had pushed a little harder to not be induced, but being a first-time mom, like I wasn't very good at advocating for myself.
that's hard. That's a lot of first-time moms don't know, or it's like hard to
Yeah,
Know
it's
when you
kind of
don't
hard
know
because you don't
things.
really know.
Yeah, for sure. How did you feel after the birth, and how was your postpartum?
Postpartum after my first was rough. I couldn't stand on my own for 2 days. They had to help me get to the bathroom and back. The pain was pretty intense. I was on some pretty hard medication. And then I'm also, they usually try to balance it out with ibuprofen, but I'm allergic to ibuprofen, so they usually alternate the two back and forth. And then I had an allergic reaction to the meds, the epidural and the meds they use for the C-section, like a numbing agent. It wasn't horrible. I just ended up with a rash that kind of went through my whole body. So it kind of started in my face, neck area, would got really red and itchy, and then it went all the way down my torso and then down my legs and kind of faded away after 3 or 4 days. But then I was really itchy for a little while. It didn't really surprise me because I've reacted to medication like that before.
How long were you at the hospital for?
1 week or just shy of 1 week. I
Oh, you
think
were
we
there
got
for a
out
while.
1 day shy. Yeah. A lot of it was because I couldn't walk very well for the first few days, and they were monitoring my allergic reactions to the medication. So yeah, I think that's one of the reasons I was there a lot longer, is they said that the recovery after giving birth, when you're pushing and in labor that long and then having a C-section, is usually a little more difficult.
Okay. How was, so when you went home, how was postpartum then, and how was your breastfeeding experience?
So breastfeeding, I didn't produce enough milk. Like he latched great and all that. That was really good, but I wasn't producing enough, so he was always hungry. And postpartum was a little bit of a struggle because Dave had to go back to work right away, and at that point I still couldn't get myself in and out of bed. So I'd kind of like roll myself out of bed onto the floor and then pull myself up using my dresser to get him up. And he had a lot of constipation and couldn't poop. So he would, once he could poop, he'd be happy for a little while. But then as soon as he started getting like a backup build, he would start crying again. So he was a very fussy baby. Plus my husband worked a lot, so I was home alone a lot. And then I was transitioning from working full time to being home full time, and it felt very isolated. I think I probably had some postpartum depression and didn't really realize that I had it. Because I got mastitis 3 different times and the pumping wasn't working well. Like, well, at first the lactation consultant told me not to pump, so I didn't, and I think that probably contributed to my mastitis. Because I was trying to feed him and then trying to pump to get my supply up. And so we ended up doing half. Like I would breastfeed him and then I would finish him off with formula. And that we did that for about 6 months, and I completely dried up after 6 months, and he was full formula after that. But it was a little bit of a struggle.
Yeah, that is, that's. Did you have soreness from pushing and then also the C-section scar.
Yeah, it was like a combo too. So then when we first got back home, they only gave me enough pain medication for I think like 2 days. And then we hit a week the weekend, and I was looking at the pills when I was counting them because it was on a Sunday, and I was like, Dave, they let me go and they didn't give me enough to make it even through the weekend. And I was like, we're gonna have to try and get a hold of somebody for something because I can't not have pain meds. Because I, even with the pain meds, I had a really hard time walking and moving and sitting. So we tried to get a hold of the hospital. At first, I got the on-call nurse, and she's like, well, are you alternating ibuprofen and your pain meds? And I said, no, because I'm allergic to ibuprofen. And so I've just been taking the pain meds, but I don't have enough. And she's like, well, it's a narcotic, so I can't do anything about it. We have to get a hold of the on-call nurse. You need to call labor and delivery. So then I called labor and delivery, and they kind of gave me the runaround. They're like, well, the on-call doctor's not here right now, so I want you to call the main building and let them know, and then maybe they can get a hold of the doctor. So then I called back again. And each time I called, they'd be like, well, are you alternating ibuprofen and your pain meds? And by the fourth time that I repeated myself, I was like, if you look on my chart in the red zone, it is written in red that I am allergic to ibuprofen. So please read my chart before you ask me any more questions because I know how those things are written. And I know that it's very clear. And I was very irritated at them, which I later kind of felt bad because it probably wasn't that lady's fault. But I did get a call back from the on-call doctor and he prescribed me some more medication, which helped immensely because without it, I would not have been able to even move.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I think I was on the pain meds for 3 weeks before I started to kind of wean them off. And I really would try to get off them sooner because you can't drive when you're on medications and stuff. So I was totally relying on my mother-in-law to bring me doctor's appointments and stuff. And I kind of missed my independence, but I don't know. It was okay. At least I had somebody there to help me.
Yeah, when would you say that you felt like fully recovered?
Oh, I was having some pain issues with the C-section until he was probably 7 or 8 months old.
Oh.
Just like the incision itself was very sore. Anytime I would move a certain way, like I tried to do some workouts to lose some. I gain a lot of weight when I'm breastfeeding, apparently. So I was like trying to lose some weight, but I was so sore I could barely do anything. And so I didn't start feeling normal till he was about 8 months pain-wise with the C-section, but the rest of like the muscle pain that you have from just labor probably went away in the first within the first 6 weeks. By 6 weeks I was mobile and moving around and pretty normally.
Okay, so how long did you wait to just to start trying again, or what happened after that?
Well, we wanted the boys to be about 2 years apart. And we weren't quite sure how long it would take for us to get pregnant. So we started, I think it was April of 2020. It only took us one round to get pregnant with Lucas. So I went to the regular doctor that I had been going to, and she's like, well, why don't we just start you up on the same dose that you ended and we'll see what happens. And we took it, and by the end of that month we were having another baby.
Nice.
So yeah, it was kind of nice to go a lot after that time.
Yeah. Did you stay with your doctor for this pregnancy, or did you go with midwives, or did you have to do the same a similar thing because did I don't know.
Yeah,
Did
I
you
had to go with the T-cell because I'm on blood pressure medication. So I will never be able to have a midwife, unfortunately, unless somehow I can get my blood pressure under control. But so I went back through Peace Health, and you kind of rotate through all the same doctors. And my hope was to have the same doctor deliver my second as my first, but it also kind of depends on when she's working. So.
How was your pregnancy this time?
They put me on a low dose of progesterone right when we started trying, just because they figured with what happened with Jake, having progesterone would help keep the pregnancy going smooth without any worries of a miscarriage. So I was sick, but I wasn't nearly as sick as I was with Jake. Like, I was pretty sick the first trimester, and then it was kind of would come and go the second trimester, and I didn't really have a whole lot in the third trimester. So I only lost, I think, about 15 pounds that pregnancy. I just didn't eat a ton because I didn't feel great, but I wasn't like throwing up every day.
That's good. Did you find out the gender this time again?
Yeah, and I was so sure that he was going to be a girl because he was sitting very differently than Jake was. He was a lot higher up. And so I was convinced that he was a girl. And then when they told me that he was a boy, I made them check like three different times. And the lady that did our ultrasound, she's like, "Well, I've been doing this for 30 years and I've only been wrong once when it comes to gender. So you're having a boy." Which, after my initial disappointment, because I really wanted a daughter, it was actually good because it was in the middle of 2020. So there was no stores that really had like maternity clothes, and shopping was just a pain in the butt with all the stores having all their regulations and rules and stuff. So it was just easier to have a boy because I just pulled out all my old baby clothes and I was good to go. So it was ultimately a blessing to have two boys.
Yeah. Did is there anything else in your pregnancy that was different this time or significant?
Yeah, when we were 15 weeks, we went to vacation in Oregon, and on our way back, we were down south quite a ways, and we were in Washington. We had just kind of crossed over the border and back into Washington. When I told my husband, I was like, "Well, when you go to a rest stop, maybe stop because I feel like maybe I need to go to the bathroom." And I just felt really weird. And he was like, "Okay, there's one like right up." So another mile or two down the road, he pulled into the rest stop. And then when I got out of the car, I was thinking as I was walking to the bathroom that for some reason I was peeing. And I was like, "Why am I doing this? Like, I'm pregnant, I'm not incontinent." And it wasn't making any sense. But I was actually gushing blood. And it was absolutely everywhere. So I quickly like wrapped my sweater around my pants. And my husband, being the chatterbox he was talking to my dad and my father-in-law, and I kept trying to get his attention without like making it obvious that I really needed his attention. And so he was completely oblivious to me and was like just talking to the guys. And finally I was like, "Dave." And he goes, "What?" I was like, "We need to go to the hospital right now." And he's like, "Why?" I was like, "Because I'm bleeding everywhere." And then my dad got this like panic look on his face. He's like, "What do you mean? Is the baby okay? Are you okay?" I'm like, "I don't know. I need to go to the hospital." So we need to Google the closest hospital and we need to go. So at first we went to the closest urgent care we could find, and they were like, "Well, we don't have any ultrasound machines." So they gave us directions to the hospital, and they said the ER would be able to do an ultrasound to see what was going on. And when we got there, they were pretty quick at kind of evaluating the situation and stuff. Like, well, they told me, it's like, "Well, you could be having a miscarriage. If you are having a miscarriage, there's really not a whole lot we can do, but let's do an ultrasound and just see if the baby is there and viable and how the heartbeat is and stuff." So they brought me upstairs to the ultrasound room, and they did an ultrasound, and right away, like, he was moving, his heartbeat was great. She said that she saw like a little bit of an abnormal mass, but she was not. She's like, "I don't do pregnancies, so I don't know. I can tell you he looks healthy. I can tell you that he has a strong heartbeat, but I can't tell you why you're bleeding so badly." So they sent me home. They gave me some medication to try to help slow the bleeding, and if I was having a miscarriage, to try and stop the miscarriage. Which I ended up getting really car sick on the way home after the meds. And it could, part of it also could have been the stress, but they put me on bed rest because I was a Saturday and I couldn't see my doctor till Monday. So we ended up going home and was put on bed rest. And I kind of let off and on all weekend. And when I went into the doctor, they told me that I had a hematoma that had ruptured. And it was, I think they said like 12 centimeters. It was pretty big. And they said like that was one of the biggest ones they'd ever seen. And they said, well, it's not harming the baby at all. And normally they just bleed out and you're good to go. And I kept bleeding off and on throughout the pregnancy. So they did another ultrasound. They found that the little pocket of blood kept like filling up with blood. And once it would get full to a certain point, then it would release and then I would bleed. So it was like you're having a period off and on throughout your pregnancy, but he was fine. It didn't really hurt or anything like that. It was just kind of nerve-wracking because in the back of your mind, you're always worried a little bit that there's something wrong, even if they've assured you everything's fine.
Yeah,
But other than that, the
that's
pregnancy was
scary.
normal. Yeah, it was it was not a pleasant experience. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But yeah, he was pretty good and healthy. We ended up doing I think at 36 weeks, he was still sideways. Like he didn't ever go head down because Jake was head down from like 19 weeks on. He was great. He didn't move, but Lucas stayed sideways. And so they're like, well, we'll have to try and do an inversion, but I'm allergic to caffeine, which is one of the main components of the medication that they use to stop you from going into labor. And so they told me that they wouldn't be able to use that medication to prevent me from going into labor while doing an inversion. So they're like, well, just pack your bags because if it ends up putting you into labor, you're going to end up having an early baby. And I was like, oh, that's just great. So a lot of people told me that chiropractors are pretty good at getting the baby to flip. So I went to my chiropractor and he's like, well, I've only done it two or three times. I don't generally do pregnant women. He's like, but I just finished a class to teach me how to do this because I want to get into helping women with their pregnancies more. And he's like, so they have some techniques that they taught me to do if you would like me to try them. And I was like, well, it beats going into labor at 36 weeks. So let's just try it and see what happens. And yeah, I sat down in the car after my appointment and I watched him. Like my stomach just kind of did like a wave thing as he completely flipped around. And so they did an ultrasound and they're like, oh, well, he's feet first now. So we're still gonna have to try to figure out how to get him to flip if you want to go into labor naturally. So I went back to the chiropractor and he was like, oh, well, let's try doing it again and see if maybe he flips the other way. So he did it again and he ended up flipping head down that time. So we went in to do the inversion. They did the ultrasound beforehand to get positioning and they're like, oh, he went head down. You're good to go. You can go home.
That's so crazy.
So it was good. Yeah. I was like, oh, I really didn't want to have a baby at 36 weeks, but it was good because 2 weeks after that, I ended up in the hospital because I was, at that point, I was only working Tuesdays and Thursdays. And so we were doing all the COVID vaccine stuff for all the residents, and I work in healthcare, so it's for all of our residents and all of our nursing staff. And we had a bunch of paperwork stuff that we had to deal with for the vaccine that was coming, and I was working on that. So my plan was to go to my doctor's appointment
What were you working for?
for my checkup. So I was going to go to my appointment because it was just down the road, so I could walk there. So I would walk down the road, and then I was going to come back. Well, they told me they're like, well, your blood pressure is a little bit high. And so we want you to go to the birthing center to get kind of monitored and see. So I called my boss and was like, well, I'll probably be back in a couple of hours. Like they just want to monitor me. Everything's fine. And then we went to the hospital. And I think at that point, my blood pressure was at 192 over 115. And the doctor was like, well, I think you need to call your husband. And I was like, no, I mean, there's probably like, you could just give me different blood pressure medication and I can go home, right? And she's like, no, I think you really need to call your husband. And she got off at the same time that another doctor took over. And she's just like a very black and white. And she looked at me and she goes, well, if you go home, you will probably die. And along with you, so will the baby, because you're going to have a stroke. Your blood pressure keeps going up. We have to get it down. And it's dangerous to keep them in. You're not going home until you give birth. Either naturally or C-section is up to you. But when your husband gets here, you need to discuss your options. And I'll leave you to think about it for a while. So I think it took that like black and white bluntness for me to kind of click into my head that I was going to have a baby. a little early.
Oh man. So what was his due date and when was he
born? What was his due date? He was born December 2nd and he was a week and a half early. So I can't remember what exact date his due date was. But I had convinced them at that point they were going to have me be induced at 39 weeks again because of the blood pressure medication. And I talked him into, because I have to do stress tests 3 times a week because of the blood pressure medication. So I was like, you know, if he's coming out fine on the stress test, can we go to at least 40 to 41 weeks? And then if he still hasn't can't come, then you can induce me. So they agreed to that. So I was kind of hoping that if I could push it past that bump, I could go in labor naturally.
But then you had to give birth early because of the high blood pressure anyway.
So my husband ran home and my bag was already in the car because I just left it there after trying to do the LEAP procedure. I figured I'd need it anyway. And he went home and grabbed some clothes and then came to the hospital. So we decided to try to go into labor. And the medication that they gave me for my blood pressure, they said that it like opens up all the blood vessels like in your brain to try and like get the blood flow going to lower your blood pressure. And they had to give me double the dose because the first one didn't work. It wasn't bringing it down. So they gave me a second one and I had the migraine that I had from it was just horrible. And it made me really sick. Like I was throwing up in the bathroom and stuff. So then they also were trying to induce me. So I was having contractions and they were kind of uncomfortable, but they weren't progressing. And we tried that all night long. And by morning they checked and I hadn't dilated like at all. Like nothing was happening. And at that point I was so sick and so miserable. And they gave you like a seizure medication of some sort and it makes light you're very sensitive to light, like the light would hurt my eyes really bad. So I was like in a dark room with a horrible headache, throwing up, and my husband, I mean, he couldn't do anything to help me at that point. So I said at the very least just turn the contractions off, because then at least I'm only dealing with a headache and I'm not dealing with contractions, and then we'll do a C-section. So they shut everything off. They had one other emergency C-section before me. And then I went in and he was born by like 11 o'clock that morning. And it went really well. Like it was easy compared to Jake.
Okay. So you weren't really in much labor before you had the C-section this time.
No, it was, I mean, the contractions were uncomfortable, but they weren't like to the pain level of real labor, if that makes sense.
Okay. So how much did he weigh when he was born?
He was 6 pounds and 4 ounces. He was my tiny baby.
Aww.
Yeah, and when he was born, it took him a little while because like with Jake, they pretty much took him out, wrapped him up and handed him to my husband. And with Lucas, there was a couple of nurses in the corner doing stuff. And I asked Dave, like, what are they doing? And he's like, oh, I don't know. He's like, I'm sure everything's fine. I don't know what's going on. And then two more nurses came in and I was a little bit concerned because they weren't giving him to us. It took them a while. And so they finally got me out of the operating room and in a little side room to kind of recover a little bit. And they brought him out to me and they told me, I'm going to go ahead and try and see if he'll latch. And then they pulled Dave out of the room. And I was like, well, I'm not sure what was going on. So I tried to get him to latch and he could suck like 2 or 3 times. And then he kept unlatching and his breathing was very erratic. And so they were talking to Dave, I guess, because they wanted to figure out if it was okay to separate him from me to take him to the NICU because he was having issues breathing. And so, yeah, he ended up with the NICU and he stayed there overnight. And they brought him to me, I think like noon the next day. So my husband did like a lot of the original skin on skin contact. The medication from the C-section made me sick again, and I was having an allergic reaction to it. So getting up into a wheelchair, I would just feel really lightheaded, like I was gonna fall out of the wheelchair. So I didn't go. I went and saw him once in the little machines, and then I didn't go see him again. The nurse just took videos and pictures with my phone and brought them to me. So yeah, they took him off of oxygen. Think he was on oxygen overnight, and they took him off of oxygen the next morning, and his vitals kept slowly going up and being better and better. So at about noon, they brought him to me. And so we kept trying the latch with him, and he could, it was kind of the same thing. He would suck just a little bit, and then he would, it was like he didn't have the strength to keep latching. And their theory was that the muscles in his jaw didn't fully develop 100%. So they gave us some exercises basically while we're breastfeeding to try and get him to strengthen. So they're like, well, you know, when you get him to latch, like hold it a certain way, and then try to get him to go a little bit longer each time you breastfeed. So for the first 3 weeks, I would breastfeed him as long as he could. Then I would pump, give him a bottle, and then it would usually be about an hour again where they would have me try to latch him again on the other side, just to kind of give him a break and give him, because if I didn't feed him, he would cry. So like, you know, feed him enough that he's okay, but not enough that he's like completely full so that he'll try to want to latch again on the other side. So the feedings were super close together. But I could only keep that up while my husband was home, because after that I was by myself with a 2-year-old. So after that we just switched to full bottle, and he did fine with the bottle.
So then he went to formula instead of breast milk.
I pumped, but it was kind of the same with Jake, where I just didn't have enough. So we did about half and half for 6 months, and then he was fully formula fed after that.
Okay. How long were you at the hospital this time?
I think I was only there for 3 days. It was not very long, because I was up and walking probably within the first 8 hours. I wanted to get out of bed, and yeah, I was moving slowly, but I was up and walking and moving around, and I felt a lot better this time around. Like I was able to move around a little more, get myself in and out of bed, and I didn't want to be in the hospital. So like, well, and they said that if I was comfortable going home, they didn't mind sending me home because they were full anyway. So they kind of wanted to get me out of there to get other moms in. So we went home.
How was there anything else significant in your postpartum this time?
No, it was pretty easy the second time around. I don't know how much of it was, you know, you're kind of used to having a baby the second time. So some of the things that are rough the first time weren't rough the second time. He's not a good sleeper. He's 2 and he's still not a good sleeper. So I was running off like 2 hours a night for quite a while, which made me a little emotional. But other than
Yeah,
that, like
for
he was
sure.
healthy, he gained weight really well. And I felt a lot better. Like I didn't have like the down thoughts and feelings that I had when I was postpartum with Jake, because Jake, I struggled for a while.
I'm glad that it was easier the second time.
Yeah, it was great.
I was gonna ask it about if you decided to try again after that and then. And
Yeah, so there's a lot of December babies in my family, so my husband was like, I don't want a December baby again, so let's push it forward. And I was kind of okay with that because my sister got married last year in May, and I didn't want to be, usually around like the 6-week mark is when I start getting sick when I'm pregnant, and I didn't want to be really sick because I was her maid of honor. So we started April of last year with the Clomid. And started the same dose that we did with Lucas. And I kind of assumed that since we got pregnant so fast with Lucas, that it would happen again. But it didn't. And then in August, the regular doctor that I used, she retired and moved to Arizona to be with her grandbabies, which made me happy for her, but very sad at the same time. It's really hard to find a Christian conservative doctor in Whatcom County. So she understood, like, we didn't want anything to do with abortions or certain medications that you know, could end up with your body naturally aborting a baby or something like that. So she was very easy to work with. And the closest infertility person that I'd have to go to is in Seattle right now. And so we switched to my family doctor, and he's been pretty straightforward about it, that he doesn't deal with infertility, and he recommends that we go to a specialist at this point. But I've already told him, like, we can't afford IVF. We already have two kids. We're not going to do IVF. So he did do the final ultrasound that we were going to do before we got pregnant with Jake to kind of confirm whether or not I had PCOS. Because I guess the only way you know for sure is by an ultrasound. Like, there's symptoms that kind of can allude to it, but the ultrasound gives you like a definite yes or no. And it came back that I don't have PCOS. So he sat us down in January and was like, well, we know what is not the problem, but we don't know what is the problem. And so I asked him if any further testing would help fertility wise. And he said, not really, because anything that's going on, your body is what your body's doing. And if anything was going to work, the stuff that we've been doing would have worked. And he's like, you're cycling with Clomid once a month. I do every 36 days, pretty much on the dot. But he's like, you know, I don't know what else to tell you other than, you know, you might want to go to a specialist. So we agreed to do a few more rounds of Clomid, and I'm on my last round now. So if I don't end up pregnant this month to do, he's not really comfortable me staying on Clomid for an indefinite amount of time. Just cause it does kind of wear on your body a little bit. He says it's not, he's like, it's not going to really hurt you, but it's not super good for you either. So we're going to have to kind of decide whether we keep trying the route that we're trying, if he's willing to keep renewing my prescription, or are we just going to stop trying? And just, if we end up pregnant, we end up pregnant naturally. And if that's what God wants, that's what God wants. Or we might do foster care and foster to adopt. We kind of looked into that a little bit. So we're not quite sure where we're going from here.
Okay. How do you guys feel about that? About this?
When we first started trying, Dave wasn't really ready for another baby. But I think he said that he just kind of assumed that we would get pregnant easily now that we knew what was kind of going on and we got pregnant with Lucas so quickly. But now he's like, now I'm kind of facing the possibility that we might not have another one. And it kind of makes him sad. And for me, it kind of comes and goes in waves. Like, there are days where I'm like, you know, two is okay. Like, I would rather have more, but I can handle just having two. And then there's other days where it's kind of disappointing because I've always thought of myself having a larger family. But I don't know. It's taken a lot to kind of come to peace with what's going to happen is going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely tough.
Yeah. Well, and I come from a really big family because, like, Easter, I had a new niece, and then I'm getting another niece in August. So I kind of filter my longing for a baby into my sister-in-laws who are moms and need a little extra help.
That's nice.
It's my coping mechanism.
Do you have any idea of when you want to start fostering?
No, we have to kind of, there's a couple in our church that we're going to meet with and kind of figure out what they had to all do to make their house. Like, you have to have a certain amount of safety stuff and space. And we live on 8 acres with a creek on one side. Well, creek is on like two sides of our property. And so they had to build like a fence and do a bunch of stuff to their property. So we're going to kind of sit down and figure out what the state requires and then like the process for them. Cause they got their daughter when she was 3 weeks old. Her mom was a drug addict and walked out of the hospital and never came back. So they didn't have to deal with like any of the parenting rights being revoked, but it still took them 2 years before they were able to officially adopt her. And so we just kind of want to know what the picture is, because I know fostering to adopt is a lot cheaper than just adopting, because we've talked to a few friends who have adopted, and both of them have spent between $40,000 to $50,000
Oh, wow.
To adopt their sons. And IVF is pretty close to the same cost wise, and it's just not feasible for us. So if we're going to do something, it would be foster to adopt. And if that's not feasible, then I think that might just be God saying that two is where we're at.
Yeah. Do you have any advice that you would give to moms?
I don't know, giving yourself a lot of grace. Like, I had so much guilt for not being able to breastfeed. And honestly, if you got a healthy fed child, it doesn't matter if it's breast milk or formula. My mom told me to always put like an X at the 6 week mark, because the first 6 weeks are the hardest. And I think there was a little bit of wisdom to that, because especially the first time around, the not sleeping and struggling with breastfeeding and stuff, having kind of like a, you know, at 6 weeks it might get better end mark was kind of a little bit helpful for me. But yeah, giving yourself just a lot of grace. You know, some babies sleep really well, some babies don't. Some people can breastfeed really well, some people can't. And either way, you're still a good mom.
For sure. Yeah, that's so true.
And so then too, sometimes like you have a picture idea of what your birth is going to go like. And if it doesn't go the way you had planned, it doesn't mean that you did anything wrong or you were a failure, because I desperately wanted to have a natural birth, and that's just not in the cards for me. But it took me a while to come to peace with that too, like that I didn't do something wrong to end up with a C-section.
Yeah, for sure. That is hard. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your birth stories and your experience.
No problem.
It's great to hear your stories. And
yeah, it was great talking to you.
I'm glad that it worked with the internet.
Yeah, I love listening to all the different stories. I said that I like listening to your podcast with all the different birth stories, because it's kind of comforting, encouraging to hear other moms go through some of the same struggles and doubts that I did.
Oh, thank you. Glad you like it.
I do. It's great.
Okay, well, I hope you have a good night.
You too.
Okay.
I look forward to hearing myself on your pod.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, well, thanks again for coming on. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Beauty of Birth Podcast. Goodbye. Theme song brought to you by my husband Joel Pennings playing on the bass guitar and myself playing the electric piano.